I want to teach or preach this morning with the help of the Lord. I have $1. I have $1. I the great thing about ministering to God's people is it is you desire to see God's people receive the word in a way that they can digest it. And I want to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. You're going to hear this scripture several times in this lecture because it so stood out in my mind as I felt after the Spirit of the Lord to know what He wanted for His people in this particular message. I want you to pay close attention to this scripture and the way it's worded. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man has, and not according to that he has not. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man has, and not according to that he has not. I have $1. I'm sure that most of us in this room, most of us listening, understand there have been times, if you are like the majority of us, that in your life somewhere you've come to a place to where there was more month left than there was money to complete the month. Most of us in this room probably at some point in time have wished we had soda bottles to cash in for the deposit, or even wished that we had a couple of dollars left in our pocket. But the truth is, with $1, you would be amazed what you can do. God's requirements of you and I as men and as women are strictly according to each and every one of our own abilities. I want to say that again. In other words, God cannot require of me what I do not have. And when He says that there first be a willing mind is accepted according to that a man have, and not according to what he does not have, God's requirements of man are strictly according to each man's ability. That's a very important foundational piece of knowledge to place in your spiritual development. Only what one has the power to render unto God is what God weighs you by. He does not weigh you by what you do not have the power to render unto Him. What one does not have, one is not required to give by God. And no matter how large or how small what you have to give to God, it's not the size of what you are giving that moves God. What moves God is the willingness of the mind and your heart to give what you have. In Mark chapter 12, you know the scripture quite well, verse 42 through 44. You can follow along. There was a woman. She is called the poor widow. She's unnamed. And she threw in 2 mites, which made a farthing. And Jesus calls His disciples and said, verily I say unto you that this poor widow cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. Now think about that. This widow has given more in her 2 mites than all those combined that have put into the treasury. God is showing us how He sees this. I have $1. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. The job of the ministry, the job of helps, the job of the body of Christ is to help the body to grow and to come into the knowledge of the workings of faith, because we all know that without faith it's impossible to please God. And a portion of how we please God is as we become aware and not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. And this morning I feel like we need to be quite aware of the fact that one of the biggest, most effective tools that the enemy uses on our soul, and a great weapon that he uses continually of the enemy, is that he gets us to put a value on what we have compared to what others seem to be more prosperous than us have. And by us looking at others that are more prosperous and others that seem to have acquired more, then somehow, if we're not cautious, My $1 suddenly seems to be worth absolutely nothing. It has no value at all. Please hear me. I'm talking to you. Because the only way you're going to grow in the kingdom is if you grow into the image of Christ. And the only way you're going to do that is to grow through the opportunity of faith that's given you, and that is to trust Him. And when you don't trust in yourself, and I say that with limited meaning, if you can't equate that what you have is of value to God, then you're never going to accept that if you what you have you don't think is valuable to God, then how are you ever going to believe God values you and what you have at all? And I say that because what moves God is the willingness of your mind and the willingness of your heart to use that that you have. He is not moved by the abundance that you are able to give in or give by. So this weapon that the enemy uses where he causes us, just as he caused David, to number the people, if you remember that story. When God looks down this morning into this service, when God looks at my situation day in and day out, He's looking to first see what is my mind willing to do. It is the willingness of my thought processes. It is the willingness of my actions that move God. And I hope you understand this before we go any further. This sermon has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do about tithing or money. I am using the example that we all can relate to, and that is finances, so that whenever we get the understanding of what I'm talking about in the natural, we will understand the spiritual. And so I'm saying that because that's exactly what Christ was trying to teach in this lesson about the widow that dropped in the two mites. He was simply using something in the natural to express what God sees in the spiritual. It would have been so easy, Bernardo, for the woman to say, "Why bother to do anything? All I've got is two mites, a penny, and I'm walking in behind these that are dropping all of this abundance in the treasury." And Jesus turns around and He points out the spiritual connotation that she did what she could in faith, and it meant more. You see, I'm not talking finances. And we live in an hour where it seems like we make every scripture about finance. I hope you understand that I am speaking this morning about a spiritual law that will set you free. I'm tired of seeing families destroyed. I'm tired of seeing lives that are overcome. I'm tired of seeing well-meaning, good people that do not succeed in bringing the kingdom to earth in their own households, in their own lives, in the lives of their surroundings. And it's not because they're bad people. And it's not because they don't have the want to. It's because somewhere along the line they have not valued that they have. And somehow they have looked around and somehow thought others were of more value than they are. I'm not going to tell you a single story of great faith today on purpose. I'm sick of stories of great faith. Because I know what it does as we as ministers and evangelists and preachers and pastors get up and we tell of great faith. I can have our friend Sean come and share what just he saw while he was in Nepal. And the truth of the matter is, many times stories of great faith do more to decimate what little we have than to propel us further in the kingdom of God. Do you understand? So while I'm speaking of abundance, and I'm speaking of, I have a dollar, I am speaking to you about a spiritual law that will loose you and set you free. I do not want to be, this time next year, who I am today. I do not want to be as carnal next month as I am this month. I do not want to be as bound by the thinking of this world next month as I am today. Does anyone else agree with that? And so in learning these concepts, it's got to be a willing mind and a willing heart. And the only reason we lose that is we have been deceived into believing we are not of value in the church, in the assembly, in the kingdom to come, or to God, because we look at our mite, our widow's mite. We look at, I have $1. I want us to understand, if we get nothing else out of this today, the value of 10 cents. He doesn't want your dollar. He doesn't want all that you have. I hope you understand as we talk about this spiritual principle, this same principle applies in the giving of one's money as the giving in one's faith. Now let's turn that around. If this principle applies to the giving of one's money and applies to the giving of one's faith, then it also applies that the giving of one's faith is the same as the giving of one's money. Stay with me. And therefore, when he tells the story of how he is moved by this widow who is unnamed purposely, and she gives only her mite, her widow's mite, he says that has moved heaven more than all these others today that have put money in the treasury. God's not against people that have abundance. God's not against lots of money being put in the treasury. Forget that thinking. We are speaking now about God expressing through this spiritual typology of a physical manifestation of our giving. This same principle is going to apply to our faith. We can't please God without faith. Let me tell you exactly why people fail in the kingdom of God. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. Let me tell you why people quit coming to church. Let me tell you why people quit praying. Let me tell you why people quit giving of their time and their talent. Because the truth of the matter is, they have lost their faith. And the reason they lose their faith is because somehow their faith loses its value. And the reason their faith loses its value is because they have had to sit. Now I'm not, please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. But sometimes we almost get beat over the head because with our well-meaning sermons, we hear about the shadow of the apostle healing someone. We hear about them sending out prayer cloths. And we hear about the walls of Jericho coming down. And we hear about the widow's dead son being raised. And then we don't have someone testify that yesterday God just let them and their husband decide to make a decision to walk deeper in Christ because, you know, that doesn't have a lot of value. So we wait till somebody can get up and testify. I just got the report back. I've got the x-ray and this bone that was broken, God is healed. And what happens if we're not careful is suddenly it's as if they've gotten up and say, I have hit the jackpot and you are spiritually bankrupt and that dollar you have has absolutely no value. And other than us, rather than us look at what we can do with what we have, we totally discount everything in our life and become mundane, become unfruitful, feel like we don't matter. I'm trying to express to every one of us in this room, we all are the same. The enemy wants you to feel like you are worthless in the kingdom of God, you are worthless to God, and what little you have is of no value whatsoever. Therefore, go ahead about your life and enjoy it. I will tell no great exploits of faith today. Because the truth of the matter is, the greatest exploit of faith is whenever she took that only little bit. Let me move on. Sometimes the hearing of a great Bible victory or an incredible personal testimony from another church member has caused me to feel like, oh, I've got to work at it until. And the truth is, the church never taught me how to work at it until. The truth is, we thought somehow faith was something we conjured until the goosebumps came. But the truth is, to have faith as these people are expressing it is to learn how to use our 10 cents worth with a willing heart and a ready mind. Many people in the churches today do not support the work of God, not because they're unbelievers, but because they have been deceived into thinking what little they feel like they could do would be of any value whatsoever. When the truth of the matter is, you take an army of people all doing what little they can, and it's far more valuable than one or two. We don't understand how the body is made up collectively. Today, I get the pleasure and the privilege of, for some reason, God has asked me to be the mouth of this local assembly. So I vocalize, but it is the hidden part that allows me to vocalize of the body. Without the liver, I can't stand here. Without the lungs, I can't put breath. Without the vocal cords, every one of us is a part, and that is the least seen and the least comely is of the most importance. Today we have many workers out at various and sundry other duties of God. And therefore, we find ourselves, many of us, playing double duty, having to get here early, needing to man the ushery, man the camera, man the soundboard, man the screen, man the making of coffee, doing all these duties. And we don't understand, most of us don't realize there's so much to be done, and we don't volunteer to do anything because we don't feel like we have the ability to do anything. And we yet to understand that the kingdom on earth will only be built when we all take our 10 cents of the dollar we have. I'm here to express today, all I've got's a dollar. I have no wealth, I have no fame, I have no ability. Many times I don't even know if I have any credibility. But what I have a willing mind and a ready mind, and I have come with a willingness and a readiness to give my 10 cents to God. Now, having said that, when I hear great stories of faith, sometimes in my subconscious mind, or maybe in your subconscious, our subconscious mind is we're glorifying God and saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Truthfully, our subconscious mind, because we've never had a vision, because we've never had a dream, because we've never experienced a miracle like that. So our subconscious mind takes our dollar and says, because I've never had experience like that, therefore, I probably don't have any faith or much faith at all. Therefore, I really don't have any value. Why? The enemy now comes in and lets you realize maybe you're not even really a Christian. Maybe God doesn't love you. Actually, He may be against you. I'm sure we've all thought like that. We all begin to realize and recognize that, oh, well, if you only knew what I did last night. Yeah, well, God knows. And you know what He says? Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. But the truth of the matter is, the enemy will take every action to make sure that you feel less valuable each day than you did the day before if you don't feed your spiritual man. And this causes us to not only not value what we have, but to finally lose any efficiency or effect whatsoever that we can have in the kingdom of God. What I do not have has no spendable value to me at all. I cannot spend what I do not have. Well, I forgot. I got credit cards. Okay. What I possess is all the value that's in my life. And what I possess that is spendable, the value in my life, is also usable. And I've got to learn that the story of the Bible is truly about those that learn to use what little they had. Because until we, the little people, learn to recognize the value that Christ saw in us and that God is depending on us, then nothing in our life will ever mature and grow because it won't get sown and it won't get planted. There is a law, it is true, of sowing and reaping. And the enemy knows if he can keep you from sowing that that you have because you finally lose faith that what you have has any viability or value at all in the future of your life or the kingdom in faith, you'll quit sowing. You'll quit watering. You'll give up altogether. So when I give, someone gives $1 million. I watched a man give $1 million check to T.D. Jakes. I cannot remember his name. He walked on. He gave $1 million check to T.D. Jakes, the guy that wrote this funny stories and all that. And I can't think of his name. It doesn't matter. Well, $1 million check given to God from someone that has $10 million in the bank. And I can walk up and I can give T.D. Jakes $1 because all I have in my billfold is $10. When God looks down and sees those gifts, they're both one-tenth. They're the exact same amount. It's you that's valued it, not God. And I'm just trying to drive home this very point that God is first looking for a willing mind because 2 Corinthians 8 and 12, put it back up. For if you've got a willing mind, it is accepted according to that that you have and not according to that that you have not. And I'll promise you, little did that writer of comedy that handed T.D. Jakes that $1 million check. Oh yes, great reward was given and great accolades and applause and oh, how awesome and wonderful and absolutely is. Just make the next one to Huffman Church. But the truth of the matter is this. Probably there were a lot of people in that audience that when the plate went by, I'm not talking money here this morning. Understand, I'm using money to help you understand what is it the enemy is keeping you from doing with your gift. Because someone just put $1 million check. And isn't it funny? We had to announce that. See, this is exactly what the story of Matthew is about. We had to make sure the TV camera was rolling and we had to make sure in front of the whole thousands of congregants that it is known so-and-so is bringing us $1 million check. And God sitting there, and here is the poor little lady that she's got 3 kids. She doesn't know where her husband is. She's working 2 jobs and mama's trying to help her out. And all she's got left at the end of the day is $10. And she sees that and she's supposed to somehow believe that now her $1 is going to make any difference to the kingdom of God. That may have just discouraged her from using what she had rather than encourage her to understand how God sees it is not how man sees it. I hope I'm making sense. My job this morning is not to entertain. My job this morning is not to, oh my God, you really preached. Woo, we had a move of God. My job this morning is to keep you from failing at the value and misunderstanding what you're worth to God and recognize the fact that if you will spend what you have, if you will give what you have with a willing mind and a readiness, you'll never fail. You first must recognize your value. I want to read this portion of Scripture. I'm jumping ahead. You know, if the apostles' faith could have a price put on it, I guess they'd be billionaires from the great exploits they did. $1 million or $1 has the same value to God whenever I give the portion of it that I'm required to give. There will be people, I want you to hear what I'm telling you, there will be people that have never stood behind a pulpit that will receive a greater reward than those that have. There will be people that have never sung in the choir that will receive a greater reward than those that have. Richard Fuller, you remember the lady, the reason I'm in church today? Is because 35 years ago, when I was on my way to fame and fortune, a little old lady with white hair knocked on my door while I was gone to work, and my wife answered. And she knocked the door to invite my wife to church. The rest is history. She didn't do it because the church sent her out to do it. She did it because she was using what she had. And that day, as I remember the story, there was rain that was beginning to fall and she knew she had to hurry or for some other reason recognized, if I don't do this now. When she knocked on our door, we were on our way to success in life as the world sees it. But my wife was so empty on the inside, the husband gone all the time so he could give them everything they needed. What a lie we tell ourselves. Did my kids really need my money more than they needed my presence and my love? Who do we really think we're kidding? And so the point I'm trying to get to is whatever we give God has as much value as Billy Graham. Because what you give God out of what you have, you cannot give what you don't. You cannot overnight start a television ministry. It starts by you giving out of that small thing you have. I remember that whenever I began ministry and felt the call to leave my secular position, and I remember beginning to preach, and I felt like God had said to me, someday you'll preach to multitudes in the world. And I feel like probably all of us believe we've heard that. And never did I have an idea or a thought process of a number. That's never been of interest to me. But the truth is, He is fulfilling that now in 80 countries that tune in to hear these podcasts. Thousands of people are listening to what you're hearing today as well as you. And I didn't know, but I could have never experienced, and he's not done yet. The best is yet to come. But you could never experience what God has for you until first you step out of the boat with what you have. And all you've got is a willing mind and a readiness to do it. You've got to believe God at His Word today and know He means exactly what He says. Now, I want to share this story. And it's the story that we're all very familiar with. And it is found in the story of Elijah and the story of a widow. You know the story quite well. We'll find it in 1 Kings chapter 17. While I read the story, I want you to ask yourself this question. Elijah was a man of great power with God. Was he? Or was the power God's that he used through a man as he saw willing? As I read you this story, I want you to look at it through different eyes right now, because you see, Elijah has always gotten the credit. And this story about Elijah and a poor widow, as I read this story, I want you to ask yourself this question. Who had more faith? The prophet or the unnamed widow? So he arose and he went to Zarephath. Speaking of Elijah, there's been great famine, great drought, hasn't rained in years. Everything's dried up. There's no food. There's no abundance. And behold, he runs into a widow woman that's there gathering sticks. And Elijah calls to her and he says, "Would you please bring me some water in a vessel that I could have a drink?" And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Oh, also, would you bring me a morsel of bread in your hand?" Now, food was scarce. People are starving. And the story tells us, she said, "As the Lord thy God lives, I only have one last little bit of cake. I've got a handful of meal in a barrel, and I've got a little oil in a cruse. And I'm gathering these sticks so that I can go in and build a fire to dress this meal to make my son and I the last cake, so that after we eat it, we can die." She was not angry at God. She was not mad at God. And the other thing you need to catch is she was doing all she could do to stand. She was using what she had. It wasn't much. And that little bit that she had was the very thing that was going to sustain her into her death. But little did she know that because of her willingness to accept her circumstance and not veer from her faith in God. How do I know she didn't veer in her faith in God? Because when God sends her His Word through this man, today we have the Bible. When God sends her His Word through this prophet Elijah, He says unto her, verse 13, "Fear not, go and do as you've said, but make me therefore the little cake first, and bring it to me, and afterwards make for thee and for thy son. For thus the Lord God of Israel said, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." Now I want to stop right there for just a moment. That is much like me believing the politician that says, "Read my lips, I will not raise taxes till I get elected." We read this story and somehow we think, yeah man, no problem. God's rescued her. No, you don't get it. She still has to have faith with her last little thing that seems to have no value. That she has to trust that her giving her little will provide a great thing for her. And God is not really trying to express the power of Elijah, because Elijah has no power. It's God that has the power. Now, if you for a moment will act like you're not watching television, and you will get out of the entertainment mode, and you will catch the spiritual implication that God is trying to get through to you, it will change your life. If you will, for a moment, unzip your carnality, let it take a back seat, and focus on the reason for this story is real. It's not just historicity, so someday we could read it and say, "Oh, wow, look what God did." It's written and written for an example to you and I to recognize the fact that when God speaks a word, the same yesterday, today, and forever, that with just a little faith, with just a little substance, with just a very little, if we will activate it whenever the Word of God is given to us, that it will be used to sustain us for the rest of our life. But have I not been willing to give the little bit that I have, not seeing the value of what it would bring, then I would just go ahead and spiritually die very soon. The truth of the matter is, this story has nothing to do with the spirituality of Elijah. Just like the widow's mite being dropped in the treasury had nothing to do with money. It is all you and I beginning to give credence and creed and value to what it is that we have, that when we look at the billionaires of the Gates and we look at the millionaires of the actresses and the actors, and we look at the abundance of the oil barons, and we look at all these things, just as David did, he cries out, "Why do the wicked prosper?" And if we're not careful, it caused him to number the people, because suddenly he wanted to know where he fit in the world. You are in this world, but you are not of this world. 300 can conquer the whole Syrian army. One can put 1,000 to flight. This is about a mustard seed that if you'll have faith to grow this thing that's smaller than you can see, when it's finished, if you'll plant it and believe in it with a willing heart. I said all that to bring this to thought. Who will act today? Who will respond to the words of God? I doubt any of us listening to me will ever have $1 billion in faith even. But all of us here, we can have $100 in faith. We certainly can have $10 in faith. And the question we have to ask is, are we discounting what we have? Are we taking it and acting in faith with it? Or are we waiting for those around us and on network Christian television to do the great exploits, and we're just meandering our way through feeling useless, so we've got to find something in life that brings us meaning, and therefore the enemy has seduced the blessings of living for God out of our existence because we somehow have no reason to recognize what you have in your hand, Moses, is all I can ask you to give. But if you'll give it to me. Having in readiness to revenge all disobedience. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. It's not only the willingness and readiness of mind to believe in the value of what you have, but we must also use what we have and quit discounting the value of it when God takes it to use it. But we also must have a readiness in mind in 2 Corinthians 10 and 6, to revenge all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. Okay, here's what that means. I've identified my disobedience. My disobedience was not valuing what God gave me when He gave me the measure of faith. But the truth of the matter is, if our musicians would come, the truth of the matter is this. God says, now are you ready to revenge? Do you have a readiness to revenge? How many love revenge? One honest person in the room. In my flesh, we would all love revenge. But in the spiritual realm, we're not going to raise our hand because, you know, payback's mine, saith the Lord. But here God says, no, I want you to be able to take revenge if you'll stand with me in this house. What God just said is, now that we have recognized our errors, we must immediately have a response of willingness and readiness to revenge against that thing that the enemy has taken from us. Does that make sense to everybody? That's the Word of God. He's saying, I've got to look at that thing that I've been doing wrong, and I've got to turn around, and I've got to come against it, and I've got to go ahead and have total revenge on my disobedient actions. Let's try it like this. Before we leave today, if you need prayer, we're going to ask anyone that needs prayer to come to the front of this building. Now listen to me closely. If you're a believer in the house, will you just raise your hand for a moment? Okay, you ready? Everybody say, Brother Joe, we know you love us. Okay. So we're going to ask for sick people to come down here, and we're going to pray for them. And all these people have got their hands up. Happy birthday, son. All these people have their hands up. They said they're believers. And the Word of God says These signs shall follow they that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and just say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe for your healing by the power of God. Now, how many of us, whenever the sick come down to be prayed for, discount any ability we have, and we're leaving it up to the believers to do that? Because the believers are those that are in paid ministry, or the believers are those that are on the platform. Am I helping your thinking? Because what I'm trying to express to you is, if we don't learn how to operate with our dollar as we value it, we're never going to move on to our spiritual hundred or our spiritual million. We've got to understand that when we recognize our disobedience, I will claim my loved ones for Christ. What I see in the natural tells me it's not ever going to happen. What I see in the natural looks like it's over. I might as well say Ichabod. They're going to go on and bust hell wide open. But the truth of the matter is, that's a disobedient act of faith. And I've got to recognize the fact that I may only have a dollar, but I'll tell you what, I've got a readiness and a willingness to come in here and step up and make intercession for these that need intercession. I'm not going to give up just because what I've been doing looks like it had no value. Am I making any sense out there to you today? You see, we've been raped by the enemy from every promise that God wants to give us because we don't think the Bible's talking about us. We think it's talking about Elijah. We think it's talking about Pastor Kearse. We think it's talking about Billy Graham. We don't realize it's all about you. Bernardo, how many people have you baptized in the ditch at work? One person. What's a soul worth? Now, Bernardo, last time I checked, you don't have a degree in theology. You're not an ordained minister, but you have a willingness and a readiness, and you witness to everybody that'll listen, and you understand you have the authority that upon the confession of their faith in Yeshua HaMashiach as a Messiah, that you can bury them. I'm trying to express to you that one man, one woman, one person that will begin to step up and recognize their value. Understand that sometimes we even come to a place to where we're ashamed of the gospel of Christ. After all, we will let the gay community be unashamed. We will let the gay community speak out. We will let them voice their opinion on worldwide news, and someone put a camera in our face, and we're almost ashamed to use our little dollars worth of faith and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. I believe He is the King of Kings and the Lord. How hard is that? We need to, with readiness of mind, disavow all obedience that we've fallen into. And it's time we recognize our value. I see a day coming. Oh God, I can't wait, I can't wait, I can't wait. Anybody listen to Judge Jean, Judy last night? Well, that lady can say some stuff. I can't wait till righteousness evolves. I can't wait to where we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I can't wait till the King of Kings comes back. But you know what? In the meantime, I'm not just going to wait. I'm going to watch with a willingness to disavenge all obedience. And I'm going to take a stand. And my little bit may not matter on this street corner in Huffman, Texas. But let me tell you something, enemy of our soul. There will be a multitude that is in this house come resurrection morning. And we won't need the roof to be lifted up. In the moment of the twinkling of an eye, there will be a group of people that have been prepared, that have been told they're of no value, that they are misfits, that they have not enough money to be worth anything, that are going to enter into that city and wear a robe. My God's word teaches me that there's more faith in actions than anything else I do. I need to say that again. God's word teaches me there's more power in my actions and in my works than anything else I can do with my faith. You can sit here and confess it and be ashamed of it. You can sit here and confess it and never invest it. So here's where I'm at today. My mission today is to cause all that hear this message to activate with a readiness of mind and a willingness of mind and heart that what you have is what you've got.
and that God is not requiring you to give what you don't have. If God was waiting for someone to have great faith, great ability, great finances, there wouldn't be a single founding church in America. If God was waiting for somebody with great faith and great finances and great ability to have walked into Papua New Guinea, where the cannibals still existed, and begin to bring the gospel, there'd never be a missionary that went. If God was waiting for somebody with great faith, great finances, and great ability to do anything for Him, don't you understand the way that God's greatness is made manifest is when we give the little that we have? I'm trying to wake somebody up this morning to help you remember you're not in this thing alone. That God, in what you call small, is awesome because He's right alongside of you. And if you will step out this morning and activate that, then you have the dispendable. So I'm just closing with this thought. It is this altar this morning that if you would like to come take a journey with me, that it is time for Jericho to see a small group of people march around it, because it's going to come down. I'm opening this altar this morning to anybody that wants to say, it's time I activate what I have for the saving of my house. I'm tired of going on like this. Don't be embarrassed. I'm opening this altar this morning for anyone that needs prayer for their body, prayer for their mind. You don't have to tell us what it is at all. But I'm opening the altar this morning for somebody to take a small step. You don't have to march to Calvary. Just take this step in faith this morning. Someone, if you're listening by podcast, right where you are, make that an altar.